One of the best children's songs ever that is used in the church might be This Little Light of Mine. How many of you have sung that before, one time or another? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And other verses, we're not going to let Satan snuff it out. And so many great, great things that are associated with it. But have you ever wondered where the author got their inspiration for that song? Now, I don't know the answer to that question, but it could easily have been from the passage that we're going to be studying today in John chapter 8 as we continue our series on discovering who Jesus is for you and I today. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To understand what Jesus is trying to teach the Jews and to you and I today, we have to look at the context of this, which means going back to John chapter 7, starting in verse 10, where the Jews are celebrating what is called the Feast of the Tabernacles. This was one of the biggest highlights, biggest celebrations of the Jewish calendar. Everything that occurred during this week-long feast would celebrate that time when God led the Israelites out of the slavery of Egypt and into the Promised Land. During that interim period, the Jews wandered by the guidance of God. There would be a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Whenever that pillar stayed, that would be where the Jews would set their tents. And whenever the pillar began to move, that would be the way they moved. So they had the guidance of God in their lives for so long. And even though that time of being in the Promised Land had come and gone many, many, many years and centuries earlier, the Jews still celebrated that Feast of the Tabernacles in three special ways. First of all, during the week-long feast, they would live in tents made out of wooden limbs, tree limbs, to symbolize living in tents in the wilderness. Every day of the feast, a priest would get up on the temple and they would pour a pitcher of water over the temple to celebrate the way that God had made water out of the rock. And then their third symbol occurred. It was a spectacular celebration to remember how God had led his people with that light during that period of desert life. In the what was called the court of the women of the temple, there were four giant candelabras set forth. Now you have to understand, each of these candelabras were four stories tall, made out of solid gold. Each candelabra held over 50 gallons of oil. And on the last night of the feast, they would set giant galleries or bleachers around the perimeter of the women of the court, the temple of the court. And they would light this giant candelabra, and it would blaze with a fire that you and not I would probably never see in our lives. It was so bright that it lit up the temple as if it was daylight. Edersheim, a Jewish scholar, maybe exaggerating, said, there was not a single courtyard in all of Jerusalem that wasn't lit up by this giant candelabra, all four of them. And that was just the start. When that candelabra was lit, that was the sign that now we're going to have an all-night party of praise for God. All night long, literally, people would dance and sing, and they would celebrate the goodness of their God and who He was and what He meant to them. But the celebration would inevitably wind down to a halt. Dawn would come. There was no longer the need for the candelabra. And so now people would begin gathering in the court of the women. They'd be paying their taxes and they'd be doing other things associated with worship of God. And it was into this scene where Jesus, with maybe the wisp of smoke still coming out of the candelabra, Jesus goes into the center of the temple of the court. And in my mind's eye, the scripture doesn't say this, in my mind's eye, I see Jesus pointing to these candelabras and saying, "I am the light of the world." But what was Jesus trying to say by that? You'd have to be a Jew to truly understand the significance of it. We get a partial sense of it. The word light had always been associated with God Himself in Jewish literature. It had always been associated with the Messiah that was going to come. So the words that Jesus spoke, "I am the light of the world," would not have shocked the people more. I mean, this is a shocking, revolutionary statement Jesus is making. Consider, the psalmist said in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In Psalm 36:9, "In your light do we see light." In Psalm 43:3, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me." Isaiah 60, verse 19, "The Lord will be your everlasting light." Micah 7:8, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." So when Jesus comes forth and he so boldly makes that statement, he is clearly declaring himself to be the long-awaited Messiah of Israel in a very national and public way. There could be absolutely no question of how Jesus saw himself. But what does that mean for you and I today, that Jesus is the light of the world? We could debate many things about the Jews and how they interpreted that for Jesus back then, but the question becomes, how do we apply it to ourselves today? I think there are two very significant meanings when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," for today's Christians. First of all, that Jesus is the light of the world means that when we accept Him, we have guidance and light in a world of darkness. Just as the Israelites had guidance during the desert years with the pillar of light and the pillar of cloud, you and I have that same guidance in a world of darkness. Now here's a question I think that all of us would agree on. Would you agree that we live in a world of darkness? A world that is getting darker. And we can see that in headlines all across the land. We could talk about politics and the darkness in politics. We could talk about just about any area of life. You read the headlines, you see what's happening to children and teenagers. You see what's happening to adults. You see the evil that is arising. And you wonder, how do we survive in this? Darkness is not a laughing matter. We used to play a game at high school camp that was a laughing matter. We would get volunteers, and we would blindfold them. And then we'd put them on a basketball court, and we'd spin them around 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9 times. And then they would have to dribble a ball and make a basket. But they didn't know where the basket was. And sometimes we'd put chairs in their obstacles, in their way. Or sometimes we'd lay this or that. And we'd tell people left, right, you know. So they were safe. And it was really funny to the people watching this. But when you and I live in a world of darkness, it's not funny when we don't have a light, a way out. I think one of the realities of Jesus Christ and Christianity is that for those of us who have grown up in the church, or those of us who have been in the church for a while, we take for granted the light and the guidance that we receive from Jesus. But how would you like to be someone in our society today without any guidance from God? That would be scary. I don't know how I would raise a child in such a culture. How do you know what's right? How do you know what's wrong? Do you base it on headlines? Do you base it on what college professors teach you nowadays? Do you base it on what your parents said? And your parents may have been divorced 3 or 4 times and had 3 or 4 spouses. And maybe you've got a family where the father walked out. What's truth? Is truth what the majority of people say? Do you see the problems associated when there is no light? But do you see the blessing that you and I have when Jesus says He is the light? We can count on His Word. We can count on prayer. We can count on the Holy Spirit. When we don't know what to do, we have a source we can turn to that will always be true. The early Jews knew that God was light. They counted on God's Word as light. When it said that Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, they took it literally. In a world of darkness, they had shoes which had special little metal tin containers with the open front, and they would put a candle in that little container, and they would put it literally on the shoes that they wore so that when they walked on in darkness, it was like a flashlight shining ahead of them. And they equated that to the Word. The light pierces darkness. The light reveals truth. It also reveals evil. It shows us what to do and what not to do. One of the greatest blessings you and I have as a believer is having truth. And for that, we should be thankful every day and never take it for granted. The second blessing, the second reality of what Jesus means when He says, I am the light of the world, is that while we all want to receive guidance, there's a catch to receiving that light and making it something that actually becomes a blessing to us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. You see, it's not enough just to have the light. We have to now make decisions based on the light. We have to do something with this treasure that God has given us. And that's why the word follow is such a key word in this scripture. It means faithfulness, obedience, discipleship, companionship. Not only is Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, but now He's telling these Jews, you follow me. You walk in my footsteps. You become like me. And those were just as shocking as Jesus saying, I am the light. How dare anyone say you follow me? The only one we should follow is God. Well, if Jesus is God, the words make perfect sense. But if He is not God, then it's a radical claim. I want you to understand that Jesus did not come just to give us the light of God. He came to give us the light of God so that we would now follow Him and walk in His footsteps and walk in His light and let His will become our number one priority in our life. And that means obedience, our obedience to the light, is the key to receiving and knowing the will of God. Let me repeat that. It's so important. Our obedience to the light is the key to receiving and knowing the will of God. Another principle that comes out of this, we are given fresh guidance on the basis of our obedience to the previous light we know. Think about what I'm trying to say. How will God bless us when we obey what we already know to be right and true? But when we choose not to walk in the light, why should God bless us? Light begets more light. Obedience begets more blessing. That's a simple truth of the Christian life. The reverse is true, though. When we seek the light and choose to follow the darkness instead, it becomes more and more difficult to continue to receive the light, to even know what the light is. And the perfect example of this is the Pharisees. The Pharisees are among the crowd that Jesus is speaking these words to, and they reject Jesus as the light. In the next verse, they say, this can't be true because our law says there has to be two witnesses, two testimonies to truth, and you cannot be the testimony to your own truth. And so the Pharisees said they rejected Jesus because of what he said he was. Their hard-heartedness reveals a reality of Scripture that most of us don't like to think about. When Jesus is loved and trusted, he becomes light. But when he is neglected, he becomes darkness. Think about that for a moment. When Jesus is loved and trusted, he becomes light. When he is neglected, he becomes darkness. The perfect example of that is the wilderness cloud. It gave light and guidance to the Israelites, but to the Egyptians outside, it put them in darkness to where they could not see and they were confused. Today, the story is still true. Those who neglect the light can no longer receive the light, and their only other choice is to live in darkness. And darkness in the Scripture is always a synonym for evil, for death, and the influence of Satan. If we need some modern day examples of this, I want you to consider this. Hugh Hefner's father was a minister. Joseph Stalin studied for the priesthood. Mao Zedong was taught by Christian missionaries. Three of the most influential people in the world were all taught and raised to believe Jesus. And they rejected the light of the world and became the source of darkness not only for themselves, but for millions of others who continued to walk in their footsteps instead of walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Our choice today is very clear-cut. We either choose to walk in the light or to walk in darkness. There really can be no choice. I'm thankful for each one of you who are here today, because for by your choice, you're saying, I stand for light. I stand for truth. I stand for what Jesus teaches us. And I'm thankful for your decision. But just be aware, Christianity is always one generation away from becoming extinct. We who are now the light of the world, I say that not to say that we are Jesus, but Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We represent Jesus. to the world around us just as much as Jesus did when he walked into that temple courtyard and said, I am the light of the world. And it is by our life, by our actions, by the way we walk in the light that God has given us, that we help influence other people to do the same. I'm thankful you are with us in worship today. I'm thankful you have chosen to follow the light. But now, knowing what a great blessing Jesus is to us, knowing what a great blessing he can be to others, let's be motivated as never before to let this little light of mine shine brighter and brighter and brighter as we rely on Jesus more and more. Let's pray. Father, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I thank you that we are merely a reflection of you. I thank you that the light within us is the light that you have revealed within the world. I thank you that the light shines out through us is the light which is shown through you so long ago. And as we see the world of darkness, help us not to be scared or overwhelmed or intimidated, but help us to realize that we have the only answer for the world. That we are the ones who can help others see, to help others walk in truth, to walk in what is best for them. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing that you have given us. May we examine our lives and remove every impediment which would hinder the light of Christ from shining so brightly in our lives. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who walks in me will have life, but he who does not follow will have darkness. The choice is cut, clear cut. If you have not yet followed Jesus, made that decision to accept him as Lord and Savior, to be baptized into his name and to receive the Holy Spirit, we offer you that invitation so that you too may walk in the light. Let's stand. If you have that decision to make, please come forward and we sing this song.